If your number one identity is not being nurtured and cared for and served and saved by Jesus as a child of God, your loves are going to be disordered and life is going to be way more tumultuous than it needs to be.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we talk about identity. How would you describe who you are to a stranger? What's your identity based on? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren showing us that Jesus calls us his children. Thanks for listening.
The basis for our message today is from John chapter 10. These are words of Jesus that focus on him as our good shepherd. Listen to these amazing promises as Jesus interacts with the Jewish leaders in the temple. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So it's a great day to celebrate a holiday and to focus on this annual holiday, and families are getting together in a special way, and there's special foods being made and eaten and enjoyed, and there's giving, and there's laughing, and there's children playing. And of course, I'm talking about the Festival of Dedication. This is the festival that is mentioned here in John chapter 10. It's a Jewish festival, the festival that was going on when Jesus was in the temple in this scene in John chapter 10. Let me tell you a little bit about the background about the Festival of Dedication. It started about 200 years before Jesus. And what triggered this festival, this feast, was that the Seleucid kings, particularly King Antiochus Epiphanes, conquered Jerusalem and actually captured the temple. And he captured the temple, and then he defiled the temple by setting up a statue in the temple of the Greek god Zeus. And he forced the Jews to abandon their worship and to bow down to Zeus and to Greek gods. Not only that, but King Antiochus defiled the altar by sacrificing a pig on it, like a bloody mess of a pig on a Jewish altar. And then he spilled the blood on the holy scrolls of Scripture. He proceeded to persecute the Jews at that time. And as a result, this group of freedom fighters within the Jewish people arose called the Maccabees. And they fought back. They fought back against King Antiochus and the Greco-Syrian kings. And eventually, the Jews recaptured the temple for themselves. They got it back, and they restored it. And so in the year 165 BC, the Jews rededicated the temple to their cause, to their God. And that was the beginning of the Festival of Dedication. It was really the Festival of Rededication, and they held it every year in like November or December. It also became known as the Festival of Lights, or today, Jewish people call it Hanukkah. That's the background. Now, in Jesus' day, the King Antiochus was long gone. It was 200 years later. But there is this nationalistic sense in the Festival of Dedication that continued to Jesus' day, and that's why here in this scene, the Jews asked Jesus, "If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Because here's what was happening. In Jesus' day, the Jewish people weren't worried about King Antiochus, but they were worried about which political ruler? The Roman Emperor. Because the Roman Empire had Jerusalem and the Jews under its thumbs. And so, every year, especially during Jesus' time, Jews celebrated the Festival of Dedication, and in their mind was this nationalistic pride that said, we can't wait, there's going to be another Maccabean-type revolutionist, and we think that's Jesus. He has all the traits, he can do miracles, he's a leader, he's a revolutionary, he's our political Messiah. And Jesus, tell us plainly, are you this fulfillment of the Festival of Dedication? Are you going to help us get our temple back from the Romans? And Jesus said, not so much. That's not my mission. My mission is not to come and to form a political rescue. I'm not here to save a particular people at only a particular place or a particular political party. I'm here to save the world. And I want to be a spiritual savior. I'm going to die to forgive everyone's sins, and I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm not a political messiah. I'm a spiritual savior. And so the Festival of Dedication continued. The Festival of Dedication, by the way, was not one of the three festivals commanded by God in the Old Testament. It didn't exist yet back when God commanded pilgrimage festivals in the Old Testament. This is not one of them commanded in the Bible. And yet we find Jesus aligning himself with it. We find him accommodating this festival. He's walking throughout the temple during this festival, and it's accompanying social practice and spiritual practices. Hey, guess what? Neither is Mother's Day commanded in the Bible. You won't find it commanded in there anywhere. It was commanded by President Woodrow Wilson in 1914, and he's not God. But I tell you what, listen to this. As much as Jesus participated in the Festival of Dedication by being there and walking in the temple, as a church and as a pastor and as a spiritual family, we can participate in this awesome holiday known as Mother's Day. Except let me tell you this. Jesus in the Festival of Dedication, it resulted in faulty expectations for him, as I just described. The Festival of Dedication, this holiday, resulted in people wanting him to be a political messiah, and he wasn't. Mother's Day has actually triggered some faulty expectations about mothers and women as well. Google this sometime. Look back at the history. Anna Jarvis was a lady who started Mother's Day, and it started to take some turns to the side that she didn't appreciate. And some people kind of actually tried to steal what the holiday was all about, and it had this drama in its early history. Mother's Day did. Even recently, I would say especially recently, Mother's Day can bring with it some faulty expectations of women. And by that I mean, in its original conception, and perhaps a century ago or 50 years ago, had this idea that, you know, the ultimate female is 40 years old with 2.5 children, a dog that never pees on the floor, a house with a white picket fence, a minivan that's always filled with oil and gas, and she, you know, she's like, Mrs. Cleaver, you know, that's what you are. Well, wow, we're not that way, especially today. I know beautiful, wonderful women who aren't moms. I know women who can't have kids. I know women who are foster moms and adoptive moms. There are moms today who are mourning the loss of a child, perhaps through miscarriage, perhaps through, after the child was born, illness or injury or accident. Perhaps through abortion. There are women here today who are mourning not the death of a child, but distant children who have left the home and maybe left the family and maybe left the faith. See, there's all kinds and shapes and ages and sizes of women and of mothers. We have single women. They're not moms. But man, I know some single women who are awesome mother figures and who are godmothers. We have many more stepmothers today who are trying to make a blended family work as best they can. And we have women who think on Mother's Day of their moms, and they praise and they thank and they recall wonderful memories of their mom, and they want to be everything that their mom ever was as a woman and perhaps as a mother. And there's women here today who think of their childhood and resent their mother and have to work through mercy and grace and forgiveness for their mother who caused pain and loss and perhaps even abuse. So you see, that's what I mean by there are faulty expectations of Jesus as a result of the festival, and there can be faulty expectations of moms and of women today. So what's the answer? Here's the answer. Just like Jesus addressed the faulty expectations of him from the festival, we do the same with wives, women, mothers, and that's this. We go underneath those surface expectations to the more meaningful core, to a layer underneath. And that's what Jesus did in his answers. And we're going to gain from those answers of Jesus how God really feels about women, wives, mothers, and mother figures right here today. So first of all, let me say this as an encouragement and a comfort to women who experience faulty expectations in our world, from inside of yourself, from men, from teams, from companies, from education, all over the place, even from the church. Remember this, Jesus also endured faulty expectations, and he's the Son of God. Secondly, and more significantly, Jesus gives a gift to all women today. On this Mother's Day, he gives a gift, not just to moms, but to all women. And it's this, before Jesus sees you as women, or as mothers, or as mother figures, or grandmothers, or stepmothers, or foster mothers, before Jesus sees you as that, he sees you as children. Before Jesus expects you to care, to nurture, to serve, he wants you to be cared for, to be nurtured, and to be served by your kids, but better than that, by Jesus himself. So, moms, your first job is not to save and to serve. Moms, you cannot save yourself. And your first job, the first savior of your kids is not you. The first savior of your kids is Jesus. And he's a way better savior than you are. He's perfect. That's encouraging, and that's a gift, and that's the good news we have today. Kids, I want to ask you a question. Kids, here's a question for you. Tell me what it takes to become a mom. So, like, there's this woman, and then what needs to happen for a woman to be a mom? What does she need to have? She needs to have a kid. Yes, right? Women to become mom need to have children. So, okay, moms, women, let me ask you this. It's a harder question. What does it take for Jesus to be the Savior? People who need to be saved. Children. We're all God's children who follow God's will, right? That's what it takes for Jesus to be Savior, people who need to be saved. So, I found this very interesting in these words of Jesus now in John chapter 10. I'm going to read a few of them in a second, and I want you to focus on this. When Jesus is asked about his identity by these Jews, tell us who you are, he focuses on two very significant relationships that he has. That's why I just asked you that question about what it takes to be moms and Savior. Jesus focuses on two primary and essential relationships that make him the Savior. The first is his relationship with you, with all sinners who need to be saved. He focuses on sinners and refers to us as the white, woolly, childlike creatures known as sheep. Now, that's number one. Number two, Jesus focuses not just his identity not just on those who follow him, but he focuses on another one, another relationship he has, not with someone who follows him, but with someone whom he follows, someone who leads him. And that relationship is the relationship Jesus has with his Father. Pay attention to those two as I read Jesus' words here in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Women, I have a question for you. Who are you? What is it that makes you who you are, your identity? Or let me ask it this way, much more practically. You're in the airport, you're maybe on a trip, on a business trip, you're headed to see the grandkids, you're somewhere, and it's just you, it's not your family, it's just you, and someone sits down next to you, and you start to chat a little bit, you're sitting in the airport, and you have a lot of time, and they say, well, tell me about yourself. What do you talk about? Your kids, your family, your home, your career, your job, your mom, your hobbies, your friends? When they ask Jesus that question, who are you? Do you know who he talked about? You. You are what makes him who he is as the Savior of the world. You. So, women, moms, this is so important. This is so huge today that first and foremost, before being a woman or a mom or a mother figure or a wife, before being any of that, you are a child of God. Now, I know from observation that it's very difficult for a woman, a wife, a mother, to not be in the nurturing and caring and serving position that really makes women and wives and mothers who they are. And so be very careful here, moms, wives, women, that you don't bypass this and think that your identity is all wrapped up in who you're serving, your kids. Because if it is, you are going to go into a tailspin a lot in this life. When your preschooler goes off to preschool for the first time, when you become an empty nester, when your kids don't perform the way that you want them to, all of those, and if your number one identity is not being nurtured and cared for and served and saved by Jesus as a child of God, your loves are going to be disordered and life is going to be way more tumultuous than it needs to be. The good news is, hey, what mom doesn't want to be pampered and cared for and nurtured on Mother's Day? Make me the meals, clean up the mess, send me to the spa, I'm good. The good news is Jesus says, I want that to happen every day for you. I want to pamper you. I want to nurture and care for you. Don't do what the Jews did. They didn't believe that. They wouldn't let Jesus nurture and save them. They wanted to be their own Savior. They wanted to nurture and care for and lead Jesus. And moms, look at these words of Jesus, how he spells it out here. Five different truths Jesus gives about how he loves and cares for and nurtures you. Number one, moms, women, you listen. You do what children do. He's describing children or sheep. You listen to Jesus. Everyone knows this, especially you guys. Women are talented talkers, aren't they? Some studies show that they are like three times more talented at talking at words per day than men. though that's disputed mostly by women. Actually, I would say this. Any woman I know, and I believe all women are better talkers than all men, except one man. Jesus. Jesus has, guys, think about this. If you're married, Jesus has more to say than your wife does. Jesus has more to say. He's got an entire Bible full of what he wants women, wives, mothers, mother figures, what he wants you to hear. He speaks about you all the time to his Father as you're praying, and he's representing you before the Father. Jesus has lots to say, and he has lots to say to you, and he wants you to listen. He's got so many things to tell you that are so meaningful. Except what children sometimes do, women, and you do this, you don't want to listen. You want to have the say. You want to tell Jesus how it should work. You want to, like, be his mom and take care of him and tell him the way it should go. And he forgives you, and by his grace, he keeps talking, and he keeps talking, and he keeps nurturing, and he wants you to keep listening. And then he has things that he wants to tell you in this quiet time that you have with him. Much like a mom or a grandma reading books to toddlers, Jesus wants to spend that quiet, intimate time with you and have you listen like a toddler learning as the book is being read. And he has special things to tell you because, number two, just for you, because he knows you so well. He knows the things that you know. He understands the things that you understand. But better than that, he knows and understands the things that women you don't know and don't understand. So keep this in mind as Jesus is giving you this promise. Women, as you spend your time worrying about what you don't know, and you spend your time worrying and being fearful about what you don't understand, it's not what Jesus wants you to do, but then because he loves you so much, he does it for you. And he knows and he understands in a way that you never will, and then he knows and understands you. And he cares for you in a way that you can't care for everything else. Here's one big special way, number three. Jesus gives you eternal life. It's easy for moms and wives, women, to take your eyes off that prize. You're busy wiping runny noses or cleaning up dog hair or trying to pay the bills or keep the house in order or maintain employment. And it just can be busy. It's hard to keep your eyes on the prize. When your eyes are not on eternal life, Jesus' eyes are. And he's your shepherd and he's guiding the way and he will never mislead you. He always has in mind taking you to that final destination, and he sees it clearly. He knows exactly the path. He's not going to lead you on a detour that is harmful for you, but he will lead you on a detour. He leads you to that eternal life, and you can trust him as he leads. And why do you have it? Why do you look at his words right here? Say it all. Why do you have this eternal life? Because you're the perfect mom? Because you're a prized woman that any man would want? Because you're a Beverly Hills beauty? No. You don't have to have any of that or be any of that to have eternal life. Because why do you have it? Because he says he gives you eternal life. It's a free gift of his grace for all moms, all sinners, all people. Better than that, number four, he promises not just eternal life, but life right now. You will never perish. Nobody can snatch you from Jesus' loving care from his hand. Moms, you're going to have hard days. Women, you're going to have bad hair days. Wives, you're going to have long days. Days where the kids don't behave. Days where you can't remember your online passwords to do your banking. Ah! You're going to have those days. None of those days, Jesus says, none of those days hurt you. None of those days harm you. None of those days cancel your identity in Him. None of them. He owns all of those days, and Jesus says that He holds you in His hand and He keeps you safe from days like that and nurtures you and He cares for you. Better yet, that you know that they don't hurt the real you, and better yet, He doubles up on that promise, and the Father also holds you in His hand as well. So that's the fifth thing, that's number five. And the Father and the Son are so serious about this. When something, anything, tries to snatch you away from their hand. So kids, here's another question for you. Kids, when maybe it's your family pet, a dog, or you're looking at another dog from someone else, when that dog is chewing on a bone, and you walk up to that dog and try to take the bone away, what happens? What does the dog do? It says, that's my bone, stay away. You can't take a bone away from a dog. He will not let you because he owns it. It's his. Yeah, moms, wives, women, when anything, any bad day, any lie of the devil, any lie you believe about yourself that is not true, any sin of the past or the present, anything tries to snatch you from Jesus' hand, no, you can't, and Jesus won't let it. He will growl at it, and He will say, you are mine, and He protects you in this life and all the way to eternal life. The fifth thing, then, is He says that His Father, this also happens because His Father has given you to Him. Pay attention to that. Jesus says, I'm going to protect my sheep, because the Father has given them to me. Women, wives, moms, mother figures, that means you're a gift. That means that you are a present. That God, your Father, gives to His Son. You're not a burden. You're not a ball and chain. You're not a problem. You're not a mess. You're not a mistake. You're a beautifully wrapped present, a gift that God, your Creator, who gave you your nose shape and your height and your hair color and your personality, your Father, who not only created you, but He redeemed you by His own Son and gave you the Christian character that is yours on the inside. The Christian conscience and the faith that's in your heart and all the spiritual blessings. And God the Father wraps that all up and it's beautiful. And He puts a bow on it and He hands it to His Son. And Jesus says, oh, thank you, Father. That's a beautiful gift. And it's mine. And the Father says, no, it's ours. And like parents co-sign loans for their kids, the Father co-signs care and love and protection for you. And He teams up with His Son to make sure that it happens and that it never goes away. He'll never let you go. One more question, kids, and I need you to ask your moms this if they're here. Kids, ask your mom, if you're close to her and you can talk to her, what she needs today. Say, Mom, what do you need today? And let her answer you. Go ahead. Wow. Okay, so there's going to be a lot of answers there. Quietness, peace, maybe understanding, love, hugs, kisses. I want to be accepted, acknowledged, recognized, flowers, chocolate, special meal. There's a lot of things moms need that women need. None of them more than you need Jesus. None of them more than you need Jesus, and that's what He's telling you today that you have. This is what the Jews missed. Don't miss it. Jesus told the Jews, you do not believe in me because you're not my sheep. The Jews didn't want to follow Jesus. They wanted to lead him. They didn't want Jesus to tell them who they are. They wanted to tell Jesus who he is. And they missed him. Mom, Jesus is here today. Wives, women, mother figures, he's here today to tell you, I'm yours and you're mine. Believe in him. Trust him. Make him the most important, most significant, first and best thing that you need, and I guarantee you, you will have everything else that you need to. Saw kind of a clever Mother's Day card. On the front of the card, it said the word mom, but it was repeated like multiple times. Mom, mom, mom. And then it got bigger. Mom, mom, mom. And then on the inside, it said, this is the punchline here. On the inside, it said, just letting you know, we don't need anything today except you. Moms, now that I have your heart in my hand, the inside of that card, that message that I just said, if that's what you're saying to Jesus, everything's going to be okay and life is good. Jesus, we don't need anything today except you. And he says, I am your good shepherd. I'm here. He's your savior. Enjoy him, love him, and have a great Mom's Day. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.